And from the 15th chapter of John. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The full scope of love is something that is amazing to behold and a wonder to think about. I was pleased when Glorious was one of the songs chosen because it is really one of the extremes for the joy that you feel. I chose What Wondrous Love Is This because sometimes the love is a wonder. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know how you have the power to go forward. It is a huge range. It's a both and. The scripture really lays out a lot. You could preach a series on this if you chose to, because it talks about so many things that describe what love is. One of the first things that I struggled with was the idea of commandments. And Jesus speaks of the commandments as he speaks about love. And does anybody remember learning the Ten Commandments? They made a list and said, memorize these. These are the 10 things you're not allowed to do. Well, that's a horrible way to learn the Ten Commandments. When I talk with Steve quite often, and we were talking about how you look at Scripture is important, and context is important. And what you have to do is you have to look, what, Steve, at what comes before and after. What comes before they get to Ten Commandments? He delivers them out of Egypt, splits the Red Sea, guides them into the wilderness, and gives them manna. Kind of puts the Ten Commandments in a slightly different context, doesn't it? He has shown them how much he loves them by delivering them. And he realizes that these people who were slaves, who were restricted in what they could do and what they couldn't do, and had every decision made for them, now were free. But what Jesus saw is that they were free to go into bondage, into sin, into being lost, to being confused. He gave us the commandments that you can abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so begins this dichotomy, this tug of war that happens. I think this scripture is very well mirrored by one that's in Matthew 21. It's the parable of the two sons. And Jesus said, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons, and to the first he said, go, son, and work in the vineyard today. And he said, I will not. And after his father went away, he changed his mind and he went. Father said to his other son and said the same thing. He says, I will, Dad. But he didn't go. Which of the two did right by his father? Pharisees answered the first. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God ahead of you, because John came to show you the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw that, you did not repent. So, what is important? Doing the right thing for the right reason, the wrong thing for the wrong reason, the wrong thing for the right reason, the right thing for the wrong reason. If you look at the parable of the two sons, it starts to look like, well, maybe you can do the right thing for the wrong reason and it still works out. But if you look at John 15, it's clear that the two are connected, because the Pharisees would do the right things. They would do the right things. They do the checklist. They do the prayer. They give the offerings. They made sure that they were seen doing it so that they could get the checks. But it's not doing the commandments that bring you close to God. It's being close to God that makes you want to follow the commandments. I think most of us in our interactions with our mom have been in the parable of the two sons. Mom wants you to do, and you go, no, I don't want to. I don't want to clean my room. My room is a disaster area. That will take all day, and then I won't get to play outside. But if we don't do it, then Mom has to do it. So it isn't that we do it because we want to do it. We do it because we love our mom. It is a different understanding. As we jump into the mind of the mother does many things without having a plan, without having an understanding of what is going on, but just out of survival, keeps moving forward and getting things done. Sometimes the things that we think are so brilliant in insight are actually gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gave the faithful mother to make it through another day. It is something that defies understanding and defies description. One of my favorite Mother's Day stories comes from Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo is a Christian author and professor at an Eastern University in Pennsylvania. His wife is equally brilliant, a PhD holder, but she chose to stay at home with her children when they started a family, which she thought was a wonderful thing. And the only time it bothered her is when they would go to functions and people will say, and what do you do? And she says, well, I take care of my children and my husband. And they said, oh, I'm a doctor, or oh, I'm a lawyer, and then ignore her and walk away. So she thought about actually what it is that she did, and she wrote down her new response. At the next social gathering, someone asked, what is it that you do? She says, I am socializing two homo sapien progenies in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian view, so they will appropriate the eschatological values of the utopia that will transform the world. What do you do? I'm socializing to Homo sapien progeny and the Judeo-Christian values so they will appropriate the eschatological values of the utopia that will transform the world. That's all. Puts it in a different context, doesn't it? Because what it is you do will have impact far beyond what many other careers may do. But sometimes we lose sight of what it is that is happening in that moment. It is something transformative. It's something that's powerful. And it's something that kind of sets the whole world on its head. A therapist who writes in the counseling magazine I get, she has a practice in Ohio, said that one of the things that you have to understand about motherhood is that it is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, often at the very same time. Motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, often in the very same time. It would be wonderful if there was a book that you could look up whenever you had a question or anytime you seemed lost for answers or for words. It would be wonderful if there was a special prayer line that you could just call up that would allow you to ask God for divine wisdom in the face of what is going on. But most moms that I've talked to have said, well, that really wouldn't do a lot of good because there's not time to call the hotline or read the book because the kids just keep being kids. And you just got to roll with it and keep rolling with it. Well, in a world that seems in total chaos, in a world where there seems to be no hope, I take my hope and my solace in that it is in the individual homes where the future of our world lies. It is in the love of a mother that it begins, and that laws and rules and chaos on the outside can never have the impact, the sacrificial love of a mother. I think that was God's intention from the start, and I think that's the reason that the home remains the holiest place on earth. So as we draw this time to a close, I ask that you bow your heads in prayer with me. Almighty God, we give you thanks for those that take on the responsibility that Mrs. Campolo described so eloquently. A job that will truly change the world. Not in the wink of an eye, but in the time of a life. We give you thanks for the way in which our mothers have formed us, have given us glimpses of the kind of love that you have for us. We give you thanks for the gift of mothers. And we pray that as we live our lives, that we will live faithfully the examples and the commandments that they gave us, because so many of them came from you. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.